Scripture lesson today is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, page 1142 in your pew Bible. God blesses those people who want to obey him more than to eat or drink. They will be given what they want. And from Matthew 11, verse 2 through 6 on page 1153 and 1154, John was in prison when he heard what Christ was doing. So John sent some of his followers to ask Jesus, "Are you the one we should be looking for, or must we wait for someone else?" Jesus answered, "Go and tell John what you have heard and seen. The blind are now able to see. The lame can walk. People with leprosy are being healed, and the deaf can hear. The dead are raised to life, and the poor are hearing the good news. God will bless everyone who doesn't reject me because of what I do."
Let's pray. God, I thank you again for your presence, and I pray that these words will first be acceptable to you, that you will use them to grow our faith, grow closer to you, and grow closer to each other. We pray in your name, Lord. Amen. Back in 1929, the city of Chicago had a real, real big problem. And the problem's name was Al Capone. A lot of you remember Al Capone. Some of you don't, maybe. But Capone was a criminal. He was simply an evil, evil person, but he happened to run the city of Chicago. Capone and his gang, they ran prostitution rings, they extorted money from business leaders, and they also sold millions and millions of dollars of illegal, bootleg illegal liquor. And at that time, Capone owned or had bought or had in his pocket many of Chicago's finest, their politicians and their policemen, and it's been said those that he couldn't buy, those he didn't have in his back pocket, well, then he would threaten them or he would even have them killed. Along about this same time, a young U.S. Treasury agent was assigned the Al Capone file. And his main job was to clean up the city of Chicago, which meant taking care of the Capone problem. Do you remember the name of this young 26-year-old Treasury agent? Elliot Ness, sure. Anyway, Ness and his men, they were called the G-Men at that time, they started out by raiding Capone's operations again and again and again, costing Capone millions of dollars in lost revenue. And so, as you can imagine, Capone was not a happy camper. He didn't like it one bit, these raids. And so eventually, Capone took out a contract on Elliot Ness's life. But before he did that, he decided to use a gentler touch, a softer touch, Capone-wise anyway. And so what he did, he sent a messenger to Ness with an envelope. Now, at this time, as a U.S. Treasury agent, Ness was making $2,800 a year, a little over 200 bucks a month, a little over $50 a week. The envelope contained $2,000, and the messenger made it clear to Ness that this could be a weekly salary for him if he would just lay off of Capone. Well, as you know, Ness took the money and he stuffed it back in the envelope and he sent it and the messenger back to Capone. And then he called a press conference and he told all the reporters there, he told them about how Capone had attempted to bribe him. And so the very next day, all of the headlines in the Chicago papers said, "Ness and his men are untouchables." And thus began the legend of Elliot Ness. Ness and his men, they tried to do what was right. And that's the point of what I'm trying to get at. I'm sure they didn't always get things right, but they tried to do what was right. And you know what that took for them? That took courage, didn't it? It took courage for those men to do what they did. This is the third message in an Advent series about courage. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the courage to believe. The courage to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The courage to believe that Jesus lived and died for us and has plans for us. Last week, we talked about the courage to listen. If we believe in Jesus, if we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and if we believe that Jesus lived and died for us and has plans for us, then don't you think he might be worth listening to? Now today, we're going to talk about the courage to act right, or the courage to act with righteousness. When I was in seminary, I had a seminary professor define righteousness like this. He said, righteousness equals right living. And I still think that's pretty close to the truth today. A righteous person today is a person who tries to act right, or is a person who tries to live right. The Bible is full of passages that talk about righteousness or right living. Let me give you just a couple of examples. And this is from Samuel 26, verse 23, where David says to Saul, he says, "The Lord rewards every person for their righteousness," or for their right living and faithfulness. And in Psalms 89, verse 14, we hear the psalmist declare, "Righteousness," or right living, "and justice are the foundation of God's throne." And then in Romans 6:13, Paul writes, "And offer every part of yourself to God as an instrument of right living, of righteousness." And then the passage that Kathleen just read from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, we hear Jesus say, "Blessed are those who thirst for righteousness, who thirst for right living, for they will be filled." So in other words, righteousness, right living, acting right, is God's way, isn't it? Now, in this world, we have several different options to choose from in how we want to live our lives. Some are better than others. But if you think about it, there's only one God's way. And following that one God's way does take a little bit of courage. The great American statesman and philosopher and just all-around wise person, Yogi Berra, he said one time, "If you don't know where you're going, you will end up someplace else." I think Yogi was right. If we don't choose, how we're going to live our life, if we don't deliberately choose, if we don't choose that we're going to follow God's way, then we will end up someplace else as well. I don't know about you, but in my own personal life, sometimes I hear these voices, and they're kind of spooky, but these voices that I hear are kind of competing with each other for my attention. And some days it's like I have a voice on my right shoulder, and then I have another voice on my left shoulder. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? And both of these voices, it's like they have a different message. The one voice wants me to follow God's way. The one voice wants me to act right, but the other voice doesn't. And I have to choose which voice I'm going to listen to. Do you ever have that choice? Do you ever have those voices speaking to you and you got to make a choice? That takes courage. And in this world, having courage is a pretty tough thing. Did you hear about this one woman in Moorhead, Minnesota? Her name was she's 19 years old. Her name was Erica Clark. And this just happened, I think, last week or so. But she was out, and she found an envelope full of $100 bills in a parking lot at McDonald's in Moorhead. The total altogether was $2,800. And in the paper, Erica Clark said something like, "I couldn't help but think about the poor soul who lost this money. Here they are, they're going shopping, and all of a sudden they reach into their pocket or their purse or their jacket or someplace, and they realize all their money was gone. And she just said, the thought really hurt me. And so inside the envelope was a deposit ticket with the name of a bank. Erica Clark took that money to the bank, and the bank found the owner. Now, you know, and I know, that Erica Clark, 19 years old, she could have kept that $2,800 for herself, and probably no one would have known, and she could have had a pretty nice Christmas with it. But she had the courage to act right. And that's what I'm talking about. Acting right or living right sometimes takes courage. In February of this year, February 2013, a former U.S. Army Staff Sergeant by the name of Clinton Ramesha, I think that's how you say his name. Is that how you say it, Naomi? Ramesha? I see you mouthing. Okay. Meshe? Romeshe. Romeshe, he received the Medal of Honor for his courageous act during an enemy attack in Afghanistan. Some of you may have read the story. Governor Jack Dalrymple paid Romeshe this tribute when he said, "What Staff Sergeant Romeshe accomplished while wounded and under heavy fire is remarkable. He disregarded his own safety to rescue injured soldiers, retrieve the fallen, and take the fight to the enemy. He is a true American hero, and we are proud to call him a North Dakotan." Now, we all know that it took courage for Sergeant Romeshe to do what he did, right? We're not all called, thank goodness, to be heroes like Sergeant Romeshe. But every one of us in this room, without exception, we're all called to act right. We're all called to live right. And that takes courage. It takes a lot of courage sometimes. It takes courage to listen to those voices that we sometimes hear in our lives. And it takes courage to kind of decipher, to kind of listen to choose which voice we're going to listen, which voice we're going to follow. I was thinking about this last week, and I thought of some things about courage and what kind of courage we have. And I want you to listen to these things, and I want you to say, think about what would you do in these situations. But what happens? We see an accident. Do we stop to help? Which voice would we listen to? Do we have the courage to stop? Or we're talking to some friends one day, and they start making fun of somebody who's really unpopular. Do we join in and make fun along with the rest of them, or do we have the courage not to do that? An older person needs a ride. Do we have the courage to interrupt our own busy schedules and give that person a ride? A young person makes a wrong decision and gets into trouble. Do we condemn that young person along with a lot of other people, or do we forgive that young person and give him or her a second chance? It takes courage, doesn't it? We're given a gift. Are we grateful for that gift, or do we just expect to be given gifts? A teenager is offered some beer. His friends all drink. What does he do? Takes courage not to follow peers, doesn't it? We earn some extra cash from a part-time job. Do we report that extra cash on our income taxes or not? Takes courage to do the right thing sometime. A family moves in next door to us. They don't speak our language. Do we offer to help them, or do we ignore them? An older driver makes a mistake driving his car. And how many times have we seen this? And we see it. Do we get mad, lose our patience, and swear at him, or not? It takes courage to do the right thing. Two gay persons walk into church hand in hand. How do we treat them? We have an opportunity to share our faith with someone we know or don't know. What do we do? You see, it takes courage to act right. It takes courage to listen to the many competing voices that are in your life, in my life, and it takes courage to pick out the right one. In our passage today from Matthew, we hear Jesus being asked a question. Do you remember what that question was? It went something like this. Jesus, they said, who are you anyway? Are you really, really the Messiah? Are you the one that God has sent to save us or not? We really don't know. Do you remember how Jesus answered him? Jesus said, look at my life. See what I'm doing. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, those who have leprosy get up and walk, the dead are raised, and the good news is being proclaimed to the poor. Who am I? Jesus was saying. Look at my life and see for yourself. Francis of Assisi put that same thing in a different way. Do you remember what he said? He said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Eli Wiesel, a Jewish author and a Holocaust survivor, once told it's a fictitious story about Adam, of Adam and Eve fame. The story goes something like this. When Adam first opened up his eyes and looked around at the Garden of Eden, he said to God who was standing there, wow, God, this is really great. And God said, yes, I know. But tell me, Adam said, what's the meaning of it all? Why did you do all of this? And God said, you mean all of this has to have a meaning? Yes, Adam replied, it has to have a meaning. Well, God said, I'm sure you will think of something. And then God walked away. You see, when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he put words into that something by giving us this command, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When you think about that, that's a pretty good description of right living or acting right, isn't it? It's loving God and loving our neighbor as much as ourselves. And so this Advent season, as we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ into this world again, let us also prepare ourselves to act right and to live right. But I do need to warn you, it will take some courage. Amen. Would you please stand and turn to 219.